Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unbound. This is episode 3. Where does Anna sleep? I ask Aunt Tempy when all the dishes is washed and put away, when the wood's stacked for morning and I'm finally lying on my pallet. On the floor of the missus' room. What about Jordan and Uncle Moses? They sleep in the attic. How come Anna sleeps in the missus' room? Aunt Tempy yawns and her words start dripping, slow as water from a leaking bucket. "'Cause sometimes, in the middle of the night, the missus needs wet towels to soothe away her headaches. Sometimes she needs the chamber pot, or if she can't sleep, a drop from the blue doctoring bottle, what Master Allen keeps in the sideboard next to his brandy. "'What's a sideboard? What's brandy?' I ask. But already Aunt Tempy's breathing deep and heavy. "Grace," she says between snores, "morning comes fast. Save some questions for tomorrow." I close my eyes. The pallet is hard as rock, and I miss Mama. But I'm glad I'm not sleeping on the floor near the missus. I hold the hem of my blanket and send Mama a message through her angels. "Good night, Mama," I whisper. I kept all my promises. Aunt Tempy snores even louder than Uncle Jim, but morning does come quick. Early, before the sun even thinks of waking, we get up and start the fire. Aunt Tempy sets water to boiling for the taters while I chop cold ham. Even cold, the ham smells so good, it's hard not to pop a morsel in my mouth. "Wait till we fry 'em," Aunt Tempy says, like she's reading my thoughts. Ham patties taste even better left over. At first light, Jordan comes to keep watch on things while Aunt Tempy brings me to the milking barn. She shows me how to collect the cream what rises to the top of the milk pans. "Later today, we'll churn," she says. The morning horn blows, and I think of Mama and Uncle Jim and all the folks that's just going to the fields. I think of Aunt Sarah giving me a few more minutes of sleep. "Long as you can, hold on to the sweet days of childhood," she'd say. I think of Thomas and Willie, still dreaming in beds of straw and rags. I guess my sweet days of childhood is over. After breakfast, the missus comes into the kitchen wearing her circle dress and cloth shoes. I keep my eyes down, but feel her standing over me. "Tempy," she says, and her words fall on my head like rocks. "I noticed the ham was cut every which way. Be more careful. Irregular cuts make the patties unpalatable." The missus takes the leftover patties, what I can almost taste, and dumps them in the scrap heap. "I'll have Moses bring this batch to the hogs," she says. She leaves without saying a word to me, but it feels like her fingers is wrapped around my throat. "I'm sorry," I tell Aunt Tempy when the missus is gone. Aunt Tempy shakes her head. "Nothing wrong with your chopping. She's just letting you know she's the one what's got the power." We clean the kitchen, and Aunt Tempy takes me back to the milking barn. She stands me on a stool, and I push and pull the handle till my shoulders ache. Inside the barrel, milk what's been skimmed and souring begins to set. Inside me, surly thoughts about the missus do the same. The next day, Aunt Tempy sends me to the milking barn by myself. Master Allen and Moses is crossing to the stable. It's the first time I'm meeting Master Allen, and I feel a flutter of fear. He's taller than Uncle Moses, with light hair growing everywhere on his face, except his chin, and eyes what's bluer than mine. Moses nods to me. I nod and quick put my eyes down. It don't matter. Master Allen just keeps walking to the stable like he don't even see me. I open the heavy barn doors and climb on the stool. But before I pull the handle once round, I hear a whimpering, what sounds like a rabbit being killed by a fox. Jumping off the stool, I open the door and peek outside. The man what watches over slaves in the field is leaving the smokehouse with his whip. When he crosses the hill, I run to the smokehouse and sneak inside. Anna is wobbling to her feet, her eyes gaping when she sees me. Grace, you best get out of here, she cries, or you'll get a whipping too. He's gone, I say, trying hard not to breathe in the smoky smell, what makes me feel like choking, and trying even harder not to look at the hogs what's dangling from the ceiling. Anna pushes me out the door. You'll smell like smoke. She'll know you was here. Get out, please. But Anna, what happened? Anna limps beside me. The missus said I was lingering. I got to hurry back to the big house. Her wide eyes is glistening and her voice trembling like a rabbit what's been boxed. Please be careful, Grace, and don't tell nobody you saw me. I go back to the milking barn, climb the stool, and start churning. With every push and pull, I try hard to heave away the angry, hateful words I promised Mama I wouldn't say. Every day I learn something new. I learn how to peel, chop, mix, grind, and bend my legs so my arms is strong enough to lift the iron pots that hang over the fire. I skim, churn, and lower leftover butter into the butter well to keep cool. At night, when I sleep, my legs feel like they still bending, my fingers feel like they still chopping, and my arms feel like they still churning. My body feels weak as a wet rag what can't stand unless someone's holding it. There's no ghosty sounds in Aunt Tempe's room, but my wool blanket's coarse and prickly as straw. I lie awake, pinching and scratching. I hold the hem what hides Mama's ribbon and listen to Aunt Tempe snore. I think about Anna, sweet as honey. What does everything the missus asks, but still gets a whipping? I think about the missus and her sour face, what's always snarling and quivering. But mostly, I think about Mama and try figuring a way to see her. Absolutely not, Aunt Tempe clucks when I present my plan. But Aunt Tempe, I say, no one will ever find out. I won't leave till after Anna brings the missus her evening tea. And I'll be back here early, early, before the sun even thinks of rising. I promise, Aunt Tempe, I promise. No, Aunt Tempe says, don't be getting any ideas about sneaking out when I'm sleeping. If the missus don't catch you and send you to the smokehouse, I'll take you there myself. I know Aunt Tempe's just huffing, but scaredness creeps up my spine just the same. Ever since I heard her whimpering, Anna and me been stealing glances and sneaking words. The missus keeps Anna too busy for us to talk long, but there's always time for a quick smile. Mama says a smile can lift a heart what's heavier than stone. I think about Mama all the time and beg Aunt Tempe most every day to let me visit her. Finally, one Saturday, when I've been living at the big house near a month, Aunt Tempe tells me she got a surprise. But it's a secret, and before I tell you, you got to make me a promise. Mama says if you make a promise, you should keep it, because the good Lord's always listening. If you break a promise, the good Lord and his angels know you can't be trusted, she says. I wonder if they stop watching over you, too. Can you promise? I promise. Don't seem like the good Lord's paying me much mind anyway. Every morning I wake up here. Aunt Tempe smiles. I think it'll be safe to visit your mama while I help Anna with the laundry. Be back before sunup and no running. There's roots and brambles all round. If you fall and the missus finds out you was outside at night, we'll both get a whipping. Sweet joy bubbles inside me. I promise, promise, promise. Outside is dark and quiet, but stars sparkle and shimmer bright as angels' wings. It's hard to keep my feet from running and my breath from lifting me away. But I don't want the missus to find out, so I walk slow and careful. When I reached the giant elm, I stopped to thank the good Lord for listening to my prayers, even when I thought he wasn't minding me at all. From the elm, depending on how I turn my head, I can see the big house or Mama's cabin. I turn and see Aunt Tempe's large looming shadow leaving the big house, carrying a small load what must be laundry, only she's walking away from the wash barn and into the dark. Where's she going? I turn to Mama's cabin and feel a tug in my heart, remembering what Uncle Jim told me about how Mama's heart would break if I got sent away, and how I had to keep my thoughts tucked private in my mind. For weeks, my mind's been so crowded with thoughts, I'm afraid they's going to spill. Finally, my feet take me to our cabin. It's so late, even Uncle Jim must be inside, giving his tired body a rest. I'm worried I might scare him. Paddy rollers what come looking for runaways come late at night, too. I never seen a paddy roller, but I heard all about 'em. They's Mina and the missus. Paddy rollers go out at night with whips and pistols, looking for runaways. If they find 'em, they tie 'em to a post and thrash 'em till they bleed. Paddy rollers what don't find trouble make it themselves. Even if a folks just sitting in their cabin praying or learning themselves letters, paddy rollers will pull up outside and whip 'em. Most travel in packs like wild dogs, but I heard old George Cooper says he's seen sneaky ones what break from the pack to make their own trouble. I open the door slow so not to scare anyone, but Mama's right there on the other side of the door like she was just waiting. Did one of her angels whisper I was coming? She wraps her arms around me and kisses my face like we kiss Thomas and Willie, giving him hundreds of kisses at once just to hear him laugh. Then she starts crying, her wet face smiling. I'm so happy to see you. I'm happy too, but I don't cry, 'cause there is nothing but sweet joy inside me. Aunt Sarah and the boys stir, but don't wake up. Mama pushes me away, but only to take a better look. You growed so big, she says, and Uncle Jim whisper laughs. Catherine, it's barely been a month. But I know how Mama feels. When you love someone so much and you've been with them forever, a day away feels like a year. Mama looks different, too. Her face is still skinny, but there's squishy puffs round her eyes, like beans what's been soaking in broth. I miss you too, Mama, I say, but my words is so much smaller than the feelings inside me. I leave for the big house early, early, when black shrivels into purple, long before the white folks wake up. The kitchen fire's already blazing, and Jordan and Aunt Tempe is talking quietly. Jordan nods a good morning when I come in, but Aunt Tempe just points to the taters what need peeling. On Sundays, Master and the missus eat breakfast before they leave for church. They need to get up their strength for the pastor's sermon, Aunt Tempe told me first Sunday I was here. Don't know why folks need strength to do nothing but sit and listen. Aunt Tempe just tells me to do what I'm told and not ask so many questions. Folks what work in the fields don't eat nothing till the midday bell, I argue anyway, but Aunt Tempe don't care. She don't even ask about my visit with Mama. After breakfast, the missus comes into the kitchen wearing her Sunday best. Pig should have been roasting by now, she says. You know how hungry Master Allen gets after a long morning in church. I feel the missus's eyes watching me and wonder if she knows I sneaked out to visit Mama. After my first visit, Aunt Tempe lets me visit Mama every Saturday late, when Master and the missus is sleeping. Sometimes Aunt Tempe lets me take leftover muffins and cakes what's starting to get stale. Every time she sees me, Mama shakes her head and tells me it's the last time, and that if Master Allen ever finds out, he'll send me far away. Then she wraps me in her arms. She whispers how she misses me, how she loves me more than flowers love sunshine. Sometimes Thomas and Willie wake up and curl round my legs like worms on a tobacco leaf. I'm always back early, so Aunt Tempy won't change her mind about letting me go. I don't see Mama till the following Saturday, but I carry her whispers in my heart all week.